you want, you a house, you a car, 40 acres and a mule, a piano, a guitar.
Just tell me, play when I get rich.
When I get rich, I'ma. When I get rich,
Kali pay my credit card debt with the check. Walk up in a Sally Mae with at least 80K. Do a windmill when I slap it on the desk. I'ma get blessed. I'ma go and get it off my chest. I'ma lose sight of the stress. Damn near by my weight in the heaven. Investing, impressing myself with 11 new cars just to get them.
When I get rich,
probably slow it down. Maybe put my money elsewhere. I'm gonna get so rich that I can start my own healthcare. Probably colonize my own European country. My companies got companies, they gon' come for me.
When I get rich,
on the crib with the bellhop. What you mean, that's a boat, how you spell yacht? Guillotine on the coupe with the head chop. Submarines by the group on the sail docks. 23s on the hoops and the dead stocks. My routines putting loot in your mailbox. Maybelline on the cutie with some dreadlocks. Quarantine on my jewelry, got an L watch.
When I get rich,
I'ma put it up. 401k, I'ma look it up. School textbooks, book it up. New portfolio to push my luck. Solar power panels to push my truck. Budget my riches, I'ma keep my high. Some of these Benjis gotta stay on my side. Some of my addictions gon' have to lose pride.
When I get rich,
I'ma. What you want, you a house, you a car. 40 acres and a mule, a piano, a guitar.
I'ma. When I get rich, I'ma.
What you want, you a house, you a car. 40 acres and a mule, a piano, a guitar.
I
get my mama a casa, I get my daddy a caddy, I get my granny the world, I get myself a G-Wagon. With the forest green color, leather seats that I sat in. With the gold dashboard, turn signal is platinum. I know I'm talking is frantic, but damn it, I'm excited. I ain't never had this much candy, my access was a granite. Now she throw me them panties, I think I want me the spaceship. You know what, give me your planet.
When I get rich,
how can I triple my worth? How can I make it so my kids ain't gotta do work? How can I do it without getting murked? Make a new currency to rotate the earth. Put it in community, develop on systems. Get a providence and start buying missiles, pit bulls and pistols and satellites.
When I get rich,
I'ma probably buy a cloud. Just to make sure that he don't come around when the sun shine out. And to make it rain when the tongues dry out. Ain't nobody thirsty in the slums by now. Got decoys for the government. Got G-classified documents. And a whole bunch of other shit in the trunk of the mothership. What it is.
When I get rich,
what you want, you a house, you a car. 40 acres and a mule, a piano, a guitar.
When I get rich,
what you want, you a house, you a car. 40 acres and a mule, a piano, a guitar.
When I get rich, I'm
to be continued in the upcoming episode of Everything is Subjective. The Shapeshifter
Dental 2 now concludes its broadcast day. Good night.
Welcome back to WPGU. That song was When I Get Rich by L.A. Van Gogh, who's with us here in the studio.
I am. I'm present.
Thanks for coming out, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks
for
having me.
Taking the time to come out here.
Yeah.
I guess we can get right in it.
Get up
so,
in it.
So, well, there's do you want to introduce the other people who are with you? Or?
Oh, yeah, I can do that. I was finna say my first curse word of the day. So I'm L.A. Van Gogh. I got Manessi here with me, and I got Dre out there. Dre's my guitarist and bass player, and also a really good friend. And Brandon's out there. Brandon and I went to high school together, and he plays drums for me now. And together, we are a part of the band, The Forces of Gravity. And, yup.
Okay, okay.
And shout out, and we got private stock in the building, of course. Got Lewis and we got Herson in the building.
They're all in the studio with us right now.
Yeah. And then I got Brittany, aka Bay, on the camera.
So for people who haven't like really heard your music, can you summarize what your style is and your whole thing?
I always have a hard time with these questions. Like even when people stop and ask me that, like, what do you do? I make music. What kind of music do you make? Well, it's a lot. It's like, I guess I would just put it together as like jazz, rap, funk, trap.
Yeah, it's like a mixture of everything. Everything that goes in your head, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the perfect way to summarize is like, what's your music like? It's me. You know, like if you know who I am and you listen to my music, you're like, yeah, that's definitely LA. Like,
no, yeah.
That's
cool, man. I mess with that. Yeah, that's really rare to come across.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, yeah. And it's tight. The song is tight.
Thank you.
I listened to the project, Everything is Subjective, episode one.
See.
So episode one meaning more parts?
Yes. So, yes, like, more parts.
Where do you see that like whole concept going for the future projects?
What do you mean?
The everything is subjective concept. Are your like episode two and episode three, whatever, gonna be kind of like in a similar vein, like topic wise?
The best way to describe the series of Everything is Subjective is it's a TV show, it's an anthology. So the way you think of like the Twilight Zone, American Horror Story, even Black Mirror now, like it's just a continuation of the idea that everything is subjective. It's more, I would liken it more to a TV series than to a conceptual like series of albums. So for me, when you ask that question, it's like it's actually in the same lane. It's just a different part of the conversation that hasn't been had yet.
So like the whole album is like a thought out storyboard that you have, you know. That's crazy.
Yeah. So episode one and episode two are actually like a long full episode, but it's like those TV specials they give you on like MTV or VH1 or whatever. They're part one on Friday, you know?
At the end of like a hook, you know, and you want to hear more.
Exactly.
That's definitely the feeling I got from that album. I like it a lot.
Are you planning on making like a full season? Like of, 14 episodes?
No. That's going a little too crazy. Yeah, but yeah, episode two is coming soon.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
When I hear your music, I think a lot of, like that, this is my opinion, just Kendrick Lamar. Do you think he contributes a lot to your music at all?
No, definitely. Kendrick's a great writing inspiration. I also think that we draw the similarity too because we're both huge fans of Andre 3000. So like,
oh, you're a big fan of Andre
3000? Yeah, so like I usually get that before I get Kendrick. Like, yeah, this reminds me of Andre 3000. Really? Then when I hear the Kendrick comparison, I'm like,
you could see he
really got a lot from Andre too. So
I didn't even know that Andre was or Kendrick Lamar was an Andre 3000 fan. That's news to me. That's awesome though.
Who isn't?
That's very true. That's very true.
And I guess the standard question about your name, L.A. Van Gogh. Yeah. What's the significance of the Van Gogh part? How come you picked Van Gogh of all people?
I mean, in short, I said it in a rap, and it was just like a really cool bar, and my friend just started calling me Van Gogh. And on top of that, I already had the concept that when I write, I mean, I'm trying to paint a picture. I'm trying to make it as descriptive as possible.
Yeah, I saw that quote. It was like you wrote it when you were 15, right?
That bar, for
like a 15-year-old, that was pretty intelligent. You mentioned Poe in there and everything, like, and he's like a, you know, I wasn't thinking about Poe when I was 15 years old.
That's definitely real.
But like, I could tell that you're like a really cultured man. Like, you really know the classics and the arts, and you're really like on top of all that. I could really see it in your work.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Lupe was a huge influence at that time. So.
Oh, like, yeah, you know, he's the same one.
He taught me a lot.
Both came from Chicago.
Yeah.
So
I'm actually from Dalton, but I rep Chicago, but I can't forget where I'm from.
Like, Dalton is like a south of Chicago?
South suburb, yeah.
South suburb, okay.
Yeah, so a lot of people are familiar with, like, Harvey. And, like,
I know,
that's,
I know
that's
Harvey.
Right,
I know,
around.
Like, Homewood, Flossmoor, yeah, all that. It's
all
like right
same,
in that area.
All the same.
Okay, okay.
Like, within the same 20, 30 minutes.
Okay. I did not know that.
Did your hometown have like a lot of influence on the music you make now?
Definitely. Just because it's a suburb, and it's also like a lower middle class suburb, like not a lot is talked about there. So just, it's something as simple as the things that I went through living there. Like, of course it influences. And even I remember at a super young age, I was like, the purpose of my mission is to show that there are more than like physical illnesses. Like I would always think there's a lot that happens to you emotionally and intellectually that matters, you know, that's traumatic. And even at a young age, I recognized that was something that not a lot of people talked about. And over time, I just grew comfortable with that. So a lot of that plays off of or it's just a part of what I went through as a kid, what I saw as a kid.
Yeah, it happens right. Everywhere, like even in Dalton, you know, like it just, there's not really like discrimination for it.
Yeah. Bad and whatever is everywhere.
Yeah.
Wherever you take away resources, you're gonna get something like that.
Yeah. More recently, I've noticed a lot of bigger artists are coming from the suburbs more than the city. Mm. Do you like? Why do you think that is? Because you're also from the suburbs. Why do you think like suburban, like born artists are like really becoming popular now?
I mean, with just the change in landscape of music, period, like you don't have to go to a big city. You don't have to be from a big city to really develop. Like I went to Chicago. I went to UIC for 4 years, and then I lived in Chicago. I continued to live in Chicago after that for another 3 years.
Right.
So I went there and like just sharpened up. As far, I got a lot of influence from Chicago. Chicago will make or break you. Mm-hmm. But people are able to, I guess, be from wherever they want to be from, because they can just post it from their computer. Like you don't have to go to a label to release a song anymore. You don't have to print out CDs. There's a whole bunch of costs that you can just skip over nowadays, no matter where you're from.
Right.
And then you also have more people in that market now because everything is more accessible versus maybe before the suburbs were just like this place where there were no type of industries for music, and now it can become a communal thing for somebody to be from a small place and everybody rally behind it, right. Because mm-hmm. it's easier to reach people in a shorter amount of time.
Yeah, the people the stuff people are doing today is like no one could have done it 30 years ago because there was no SoundCloud, there was no YouTube or anything like that. You know, there was a lot of power in like the industry, and that they like pretty much control what got out and what didn't.
Yeah,
now all that's gone.
Yeah, but I like that it's happening now because I'm also from a suburb.
That's
and
real.
I love classic like New York hip hop and stuff, but I couldn't really directly relate to it. Yeah. But I'm from a suburb, I relate to a lot of this, the music that people from suburbs are making.
That's real.
I like that it's becoming more popular in that way.
Yeah.
So I guess we can take it back for a bit.
Throwback Thursday.
So, you already talked about you're from Dalton. Do you have like other, like when you were growing up, what were your like biggest musical like inspirations? What did you like growing up?
Well,
hip-hop or?
I think there are a lot of factors in that, you know, like, and one of the factors is that sometimes you don't have control over what you listen to because you're not driving. It's not your car. Right. It's not your house.
Right.
So I would say the first immediate influences are from my dad and everything that he played. So the first song I remember ever, lyric by lyric, is Gin and Juice by Snoop Dogg. So
that's
like
a good first song.
I'm a huge West Coast fan from jump because of my dad. And after that, there's my grandmother who would play V103 on the way to work every day. So like I'm listening to Luther Vandross. I'm listening to Lou Rawls. Throughout the house, like she just keeps a bunch of music. When Christmas time came around, I would beg her to play the Jackson 5 versions of any Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
So like that was my early influence. And then when I started really digging into music myself, I was a huge Nelly fan. I was a huge Saint Lunatics fan. Like I like B2K, No Bull. I liked a lot of Silk. Like just old R&B, because that's when my dad played. Avant, Donnell Jones. And then when you get into like my rap influences, it's like Lupe, it's Kanye, it's Drake. Like it's, I listen to a lot of music basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the moral of this story.
Yeah and you can feel that, you can hear that influence on the songs too. I think it feels like a mixture of a lot of different things.
Right.
So after that, you said you went to UIC, right?
Yeah.
And I watched one of your music videos, and was that filmed at UIC? Was it Change My Number or?
Change My Number. No, definitely not Change My Number. I had an older video called Thirsty Thursday.
Right, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah,
that's
that was filmed in the area. Like, okay. It wasn't on UIC's campus, but, you know, like that South Loop, West Loop area.
Yeah, but it felt like a really do-it-yourself kind of video.
Oh, yeah, definitely. My guy, I met this guy through a friend of mine who had a music video shot by him, and I was mm-hmm. featured in the song, so I met him that way.
Right.
And yeah, we just hooked up. We figured out concepts.
Right.
So
did, just did business. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like
at USC, UIC. What did you study there?
Which year?
you switched around a lot?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I mean, I went in going for computer science. Like, I wasn't really in it. I knew I wasn't in it when I failed intro to CS 101. Oh, I'm like, this is not for me.
That's a sign. Glad it happened. Right?
And then I switched to business for about a year, for two semesters. Okay. And then I was in business class, and I was like, shoot me. What? And so I gave up on business, and then I went to psychology, which I stayed in for a half a semester, and then I just like landed on political science with a focus in like constitutional law.
So that makes a lot of sense coming from you. It's definitely like your lyrics, like they pack a lot of information in such a short amount of space. Like there's a lot of wisdom and insight that comes from it. So it makes sense that you go with political science.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
And you said, did you start making music? You started making music a lot before this, but I saw on one of your first albums ever, you engineered the entire thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Everything I've ever like put out, no matter like how trash it was, like I was pretty much mixing all that.
And you're still doing that today.
Yeah. And then I work closely with Matt Hennessy now at VSOP Studios in Chicago.
Okay.
But pretty much like all the arrangements, all like a lot of the sound effects, like that's all me.
Yeah.
And then I give it to Matt and he polishes it up the way at industry standard.
Yeah. I mean, it needs to be that or else it's not really your music, right?
I feel like any artist has a responsibility in being a part of the arrangement and production of a song.
Okay.
To create at a certain level.
Yeah, of course, because it's unique in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and where did you learn to engineer? You learn by yourself? Do you go to school for it? YouTube?
YouTube. That's exactly.
That's the best way.
I asked a lot of questions. Yeah. So like I would say 10% of that is YouTube.
Oh, only 10%.
Another 60% is me asking, is going to studios and asking questions like, what are you doing? Or bringing something there. Like, how do you get this sound effect? Can you show me how to do it? Can you do that to my voice real quick?
Yeah.
And I'm a visual learner. So if I see something, like I know it
at
that
course,
point.
Yeah.
So when I see someone do it, I'm going back home like, what did he do?
Go
over here.
So let me get this straight. So like, this is before you actually were like recording at a studio. You were doing this, or when you're recording at a studio, you learn from the engineers there and do it
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's exactly what. So a lot of experimentation was done, and me just trying to make a song that was clear enough for me to hear in my own room mm-hmm. or in my own speakers. And then it got to a point where there were certain things that I knew I couldn't do or that I knew I wasn't good at. So when I went to other studio sessions, which was rare, then
okay,
I would ask questions. But not only that, I got to give a huge shout out to my man Cellblock and Boog, who basically he had a studio in his house and in his basement, and he wasn't always available to record me. He was a good friend of my dad, and because he wasn't always able to record me, he taught me how to record myself.
Okay.
So that's where that originally started, was self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
Somebody also made me self-sufficient because they couldn't be what I needed them to be.
But it's good he did that for you instead of just saying no. You know, that was pretty productive. That's a smart move.
Yeah, he got mad love.
So and your parents were always into music, because you said that your Cellblock was your dad's friend, right? So was he friend with like producers and like people with studios as well?
But not really. My dad, so the reason they know each other was my dad was a basketball coach at a high school called Thornton. And Marcel played basketball at Thornton. So that's how they knew each other. My dad's the type of guy that just keeps relationships with people, and he always leaves a good impression. He's able to get along with people very well. So down the line, I guess they had a conversation. He was like, you know what, my son does music too. And he brought that to me and was like, do you want to go check this out and see what you can do? So he wasn't involved in music to the point where it was like he pushed me in that direction. But I did grow up around someone who was, which was another one of my dad's close friends who would keep me around just his environment. Like if you know the rapper White Boy, like I was there when he made that album just because my dad's friends were involved in that.
Okay, so you were always around there, and
he just
wanted to bring you along?
I mean, it was just my dad just bringing me around his friends because like he took care of me. I would always want to go with him because I liked his friends. I was I like being around older people at a younger age. Okay. I learned a lot.
Yeah. Also.
So it was really just like him bringing his son around. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like he necessarily was like, come here because you need to like music. I was into sports at the time. Like, I played basketball. I played baseball. That was my main passion.
Okay.
So.
You know, I kind of, yeah, no, it's very, like, similar because my dad had a studio, too, and in my house, actually. So we just go down, I'll always be around it. So.
Dope.
Yeah, and that's like, I got a lot of my influences from that. Yeah. It really, like, it makes a difference because that's, like, what you see, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what we always see. That's kind of, like, the right thing to do in a way, mm-hmm. you know, because you see other people doing it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I relate to that.
So during that time, you learned how to engineer. And you rap as well, and do you kind of identify as a singer also, or just mainly a rapper?
I do identify as a singer in the aspect that I create melodies, I hold melodies throughout songs, so in that aspect, but do I think I'm a singer? You know, like, I think that there's a difference based on my admiration of music and admiration of singers, like, but... Yeah, and you damn right I sing.
And you produce also. You've produced a few songs on your project.
A few. The whole album.
Oh, the whole thing?
Yeah, I produced the whole album.
I was looking at the credits on... the Everything Is Subjective you produce.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Nice. Okay, so does that kind of influence the way you make music because you kind of have your hand in all the different aspects?
Of course. I think I don't realize how unconventional the way I make music is until I go into studio sessions where I see people making music and I'm like,
how is it unconventional? In what ways?
I write songs in bits because I'm always on the go, so I don't necessarily always sit down and be like, yeah, this is the concept. Like, when I have time to do that, I do that, but it usually starts out like, for instance, When I Get Rich came from just an idea that I had maybe in 2015. So I just let that sit. I try not to force it. If I know I'm not at a level where I can execute this vision that I have, I just kind of wait and learn and just live my life. And then something will come to me that relates to that concept that I had. And I'm like, oh, snap. Now I can move further along.
Right.
Okay. So at this same time, like, I'm imagining what the beat sounds like in my head at certain points. So then I'll go create like an 8-bar loop and then continue writing. And... Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll get stuck somewhere and then I'll record what I have and listen to it and be like,
so you really,
what am I missing? What, like, how do I feel? And not sit in the studio and do that. I do that as well, but what I do is I bounce it out, even if it's just 30 seconds of a song, and not get in the car, because in the car you can't think. Like, I just have to let other music hit me, and whatever hits me just comes, and that's when I come up with my eureka moments. Oh, damn, that's a line right there. Oh, snap, this makes sense now. Or I'll start reading a book and be like, it'll say like something super deep, to, you know, like some Buddha quote or something, like, the grass is always greener if you take care of it or something. And, you know, like, and then I'll be like, wait a minute, I want to talk about this in this song that I thought about. Okay. So, like, that's what I mean by unconventional, because I'm creating songs in pieces.
Yeah, like,
over time.
I don't know a lot of people that really take their time like that and really just, like, kind of let it happen naturally.
Yeah.
It's, most people just, like, get a beat from the internet and then just get some bars.
I used to do that, and that's how I honed my craft. That's how I was able to get technique down. That's how I was able to get down songwriting.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I was like, I don't like what other beats that people make. So that's why I started producing, was like, this beat does not sound like something I want to rap over. But this Mos Def beat is. Like, why can't I find nobody that make beats like Mos Def?
So you just, like, made your own beats?
Yeah, I started making my own beats.
Mm, dope.
And now you work at, or you record at Private Stock.
Yeah, right? I still do a lot of my own recording in my bedroom. Like, everything is subjective. Like, it's from the corner of my bedroom,
right,
mostly. And I'll go back to Private Stock and re-record some stuff, just hear it on the big speakers. I also do work at VSOP with Matt as well.
Okay, cool. Have you like made any cool connections through working at Private Stock? Because I know a lot of big artists work there.
FemDot's the homie, so that's a good place for us to meet. Like, I knew him a while ago, for a long time, like, since we were both in college, and Private Stock gave us the space to finally work together. So that was something I was happy about. Flex Lennon, who produced on my EP Friends First, like, that was through Private Stock. Poppy Beats, who mixed Be Careful, you know, like, So of course I've definitely, there are a lot of benefits to being in a place like that. It's a hub for a lot of artists in the city.
How did you meet Private Stock in the first place? Did you hear about it before you started working with them? Or
what's crazy is this exact scenario is how I met Private Stock. This guy right here, I had an interview at this place called Windy City Underground. It's a Chicago, I think, online radio network. So I went there because someone I knew was working there and they really liked my music. At the same night I was there, MF and Mello, I can't say his name, I supposed to be said, but I know how to say it, Mello, so like don't text me if you hear this and be like, that's not how you, MF and Mello, met him that night, and they were working with him that night, and just kind of like, they were like, what is this music that you guys are playing? And I'm like, that's me. And then we just started a conversation.
It's fate.
The rest just went there, you know?
Yeah, I get that. That's awesome.
And are you independent right now? Or signed?
Private Stock's a label.
Private Stock is a label.
Yeah.
Okay.
We are independent, you know, like we're, we don't have any like major label funding or anything. So, you know.
Okay, cool.
And it's like independent label.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and the goal is to stay that way?
I'm open. Like it sounds cool to say that, but like there is a huge depth of reality within the music industry that I have to be considerate of. So ideally, if I can do it on my own and I come up with like a bag, secure a super bag, then of course we want to stay independent because that gives us more control.
Right.
Yeah. But you know, I'm aware of the circumstances. I'm aware of the industry, and there are also, there are good and bad deals, you know, like you hear about the bad deals and yeah, there are a lot of them because a lot of artists aren't well versed in music industry knowledge. So I'm open to it.
Yeah. Right. Because yeah, you could do all the things you said, then when I get rich, once you get that back.
Exactly. But like colonizing the whole country is like years worth of work, you know what I'm saying? So that one might be a little far-fetched, but that was on the top of my bucket list, you know?
Eventually.
It's a multi-step process, you know?
Exactly.
You got anything else, Theo? I have a final question.
You know, I'm thinking back. I left my laptop where I live, so do not have any. I had a bunch written down. Is there anything on there that
I think we got through them all, but because the three of us are the hosts of the hip-hop show here on WPGU, we like to ask all of our guests what their top five favorite rappers are.
I prepare for moments like this. I ask myself diligently. Mm-hmm. At least three times a month, who are my favorite rappers? And I still have a hard time figuring it out. But I mean, it goes like this. Lupe Fiasco, duh. Nas. The Z of J.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard, man. Like Andre 3000 and then the Diggable Planets, like, that's a group of rappers.
Yeah.
For me, it's like a top 10. And then I just keep going with the list, man, because all of the people that I'm thinking of in my brain are our top five potential. It just changes on how I feel that week.
Yeah.
So like Biggie, like Eminem, Drake, like we're in the second decade of the 21st century. Hardcore rap is like not a huge thing anymore. Drake is a huge influence for a lot of my generation.
Mm-hmm.
J. Cole, what? Kendrick, what? Like
the
what?
Big guys, yeah.
And we're not even talking about battle rappers. Hollow, Loaded, come on, Calico. Like these are all people up for contention.
So there's like 25 people in your top five.
Damn near.
Yeah, that works.
Damn
works.
Near.
You big into battle rap?
Not as much as I used to be, but I'm a huge fan of bad. That's where I get a lot of my wit and a lot of my connecting lines and a lot of my, not my schemes, but that's where I learn schemes. That's where I learn like multiple, like extended metaphors is what I'm trying to say.
Did you battle rap yourself?
Not really. I mean, maybe once in high school when somebody, we just spit verses at each other. Like it wasn't like a battle rap. It was like, I have the better verse. because I mean, when you think about battle rap, a lot of that has to do with aggression, and like we in the burb, so I don't believe your aggression all the way. Like, and I'm not finna give you something that I don't really live. So,
you know, I get that.
Yeah, sure. I got the quack quack. You better duck. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be like, what? Yeah.
You should include that line in your next.
No, I won't. Don't. What? That's terrible. If I put that in a rap, I'm exiled from the rap community.
So it's like a comedy tweet or something.
Exactly. That's when you parody rap.
Yeah. Battle rapping is a skill.
Super skill. It takes a lot of charisma. And spoken word. Yeah. Spoken word is a huge influence. Like, that's where I got my performance chops. That's another place where I was able to exercise and expand my content. Because I guarantee a song as deep as When I Get Rich would not have happened without open mic experience.
Yeah,
right.
How do you feel about performing?
It's dope.
You think that's like who you are? Like, it's like it works for
you?
I'm
just a natural character, honestly, at this point. So like,
yeah.
I think sometimes you hear the quote like, life is a performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like to express myself. If other people like when I do that, that's even cooler. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, I get that. Cause not everyone can do that. I couldn't.
That's real. I still get nervous, like, performing. Yeah. I still am worried about how good I'm going to do. But when I get up there, I don't know. I'm not me anymore.
Mm. But I think that's a good sign that you still get nervous. That means you're still pushing yourself.
Yeah.
And, of course, I have to mention the reason you're here in the first place, which is the So Far Sounds event.
Yes.
And you've done a So Far Sounds event before, right? How many? Mm-hmm. This is your second one? Or
I've done at least like 4 or 5 in Chicago. I've done one in New York. And I'm doing one in Champaign. So
what makes you keep coming back to So Far Sounds? Like, what do you like?
I love the intimate setting. Like, I feel like a lot is lost in the digital age and connecting with people. So and that's where I'm comfortable, most comfortable, because if you think about an open mic, there's no bigger than a So Far Sounds show. So
that's true.
How am I not going come back to something that reminds me of that gives me that platform where, you know, everybody is paying attention to the things that you care about talking about. I have a better chance of reaching someone and having a conversation at a So Far show.
Right.
Yeah. When was your first time actually getting up on stage and performing?
I mean, if we include me playing saxophone in 5th grade, then when I was when I was like 12.
I'm
old 5th grade. Hold on, wait. Let me do my math and get back to you.
Like 12.
But as a performing artist, it was in 4th grade. So there was a talent show.
Okay.
And I went up there and sang Avant like I was depressed. and like, I would perform as much as possible any chance that I could get, just because it was like, I think this is good stuff, so let me share it with people.
Did you get a rush from that first time performing at the talent show?
I don't remember much. I just remember performing. Like, I don't necessarily remember how I felt.
Okay.
I felt like I think I was doing it for attention too.
Yeah. What about like music wise, like performing your own music that you created at like an event that people paid to go see?
Probably when I was like 15.
Okay.
Like, I would perform with older people just because I'd be featured on their songs. Like, I'm 15-year-old, but I only rap with 17, 18, 19-year-olds. So,
like, that's early to get on stage.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I was in a group with my homies, Demarius and Tavares, called the McFly Kids when I was 15.
Okay.
So we would go and perform places. Like, we would go and perform at Columbia.
Really?
And
you guys were that like into it, like that was your like full-time job, you think? Like
during a summer break.
Of course it's cool, but like, I mean, like to be able to perform, like to even get like a space to perform and to show your craft at 15 years old, that's not too common.
That's real. And I don't even remember how we got that gig at Columbia, but we were all just very passionate about making music and about that being heard.
Okay.
So you find a way where there's a wheel. Exactly. Like, you find a way.
If you really want it, it'll happen.
Right.
I think we're running out of time, but just before you leave and go perform at your show, would you want to do a quick freestyle for us?
If you want it, you can have it.
What type of beats do you like?
What type of beats do you like? I like, this is fine. what's playing right now.
Sure.
All right, I'll turn it up and then you can go in.
This is funky. All right. Can you turn my headphones up a little bit? Oh yeah, there we go. What beat is this? This sounds so familiar.
It's Detroit Madness by J Dilla.
Oh, it's Jay, of course. All right. My day begins with a face that's cringe, like I ain't take the taste of gin. Wipe the fake away from scanning. Walk out my door, rehearsing riddles and such. My audience a rugged street, littered with cigarette butts. Sponsored by citizens who living in conditions and forced to make a live I am by escaping their lows. The chase for a dividend is ruining my discipline. And ain't no school curriculum to teach us how to be grown. Whoa. I put the whole forest preserve in the wood, keep the bump in the trunk. The legislative branch got me in a genre of funk. Parliament, how I split a wig. My water isn't worth a swig, but I'm good cause my swisher big. I don't drink cause my liver hate it. Excuse my drowsy eye, this boba so it got me sedated. I'm busy magic making. My Hermione asked me a lot of some time. I'm a performing transformer, brother Optimus Rhyme. I just shift trying to capitalize. Feeling wavy like butters. Salty people in the room, make sure my wounds is covered. Caution tape on this Rubik's Cube of a blood pumper. I put my best foot forward with the ground crack like thunder. I need a woman with a voice like summer to talk me through the winter. Passenger of a Hummer, feet on a dashboard like a toes on Tumblr. Telling me dreams like she marketing a thing in my slumber. If I ever drop the ball, they'll probably study my fumble. So I just tighten my huddle. This magic ain't for no muggles. Me and my brother stick together like a couple of bubbles. And we just looking for peace, but they keep for trouble. Damn, ran out of breath. But what's left? I can keep going from the right to the left. Get it off of your chest like a pawn or a queen or a king. And you know what I mean when I get into it. I'm Jackson Hewitt, cause this is how we do it. I mean, I'm fluid. I can keep going for like the next week, and it won't be weak. So tell me how you feel. What do you want, a meal like Meek? Possibly. I'm thinking like more of a menu. People talking about building, I'm like, well, what's the venue? I can keep going, keep flowing. Shout out to y'all for having me.
Thanks for coming out, man. We appreciate you taking the time to stop by the studio.
Word. I really appreciate y'all having me. That was fun. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Best of luck at the show tonight. And, thank you. We hope to see you down here again.
Are y'all coming?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Let's get it.
For sure. Shout out to listeners. Shout out to Squad, Private Stock.
Once again, this is LA Van Gogh.
LA Van Guacamole.
Signing off. Thanks for tuning in.